What is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Devin Cole over Zoom video. Devin Cole is absolutely on fire right now. Her song, Witch. Currently has over 40 million streams on Spotify. And before it even came out, it had 300,000 pre-saves. And this was an amazing, and this was such a great conversation with Devin. She really opened up about her most recent single. We'll talk about that. And this was such an amazing conversation with Devin. She really opened up about her new single called Call Me After Rehab. But she was born in Toronto, raised in Calgary, and then moved back to Toronto. She comes from a musical household. Her mom was in a band when she was in high school. She started off on piano and then moved on to guitar. Devin talks about how she found her manager via LinkedIn. Via LinkedIn, which was a pretty funny story. We hear about the success of July all the time. We hear about the validating success of her very first single called July for the Whole Year, the first song she ever put out. She talked about the EP Party for One. Once again, the success of the song Witch and how that led to a bunch of conversations and trips to New York, getting signed to a record deal. And the song being nominated for a Juno Award. You can actually see the balloons behind her that her mom bought for the Juno nomination. Kind of congratulations. And we got really into her most recent single, Call Me After Rehab. And she got really vulnerable and really real about what the song was about, which was really very, very cool. You can watch our interview with Devin on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it'd be incredible if you follow us there as well and hook us up with a 5-star review. We're Bringing It Backwards with Devin Cole. Hi, Devin. How are you?
Hi, Adam. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I appreciate you doing this today. Thank you so much.
Are you kidding? This is a dream. I watched your interview with Ash last night.
Oh, cool.
So I feel like I'm living vicariously. I feel like I know Ash because we're talking.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. That's so cool. Yeah, she was super awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of hers. Big, big fan. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm doing really well. I'm in Nashville and we have a tornado warning right now. So that's kind of interesting.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh. That's horrible.
It's all right, though.
Are you staying safe?
I am. My wife and the kids are downstairs. So if you hear like gnarly sirens and then everything just goes off, then that's because there's literally a tornado close by.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
But we should be good. We should be good. It's supposed to lift up at 1 p.m. here, but whatever.
Okay. Can I speak my truth about something?
Of course you can.
This is really insensitive because you're like in the thick of it right now, but I've actually always wanted to be in a tornado or in some sort of natural disaster.
Is that right?
Yeah, just for the chaos of it all. Like I would love to go into a bunker and just hide out with my family. That's horrible because you're in the middle of it. I'm sorry.
It's okay. We've had, I'm originally from San Diego. And so, I mean, earthquakes were a thing, but I feel like luckily enough growing up, I felt a few, but it was never like you talk to people from the Midwest or, you know, other places in the world. They're like, oh my gosh, earthquakes. And it's like, yeah, but they're like
what you think.
So few and far between. It's just more fires that were like the thing that would, you know.
Okay. Those, yeah.
So
I take it back. I take it back.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Like tsunami. Like I wouldn't want to be in a tsunami or in a forest fire, but.
But at least like with here with tornadoes and if you're in Florida where hurricanes, you know that they're coming, right? Like we knew yesterday that this is going to get bad. Like, so you have so much time to prepare and everything else, but like they canceled my kids' school today. Cause they're like, oh, you know, it's the winds. And just, I mean, likelihood is like slim to none, but you never know. Right. You
just gotta be careful. Well, stay home from school. That's nice. Sometimes we would get that in Canada if it was like really, really cold.
Okay. And
it'd be like the best day ever. A snow day.
Did you have a lot of snow days?
I had a few growing up. Not so much because of the snow, but because of how cold it was. And it was threatening to be outside.
Yeah. Well, what part of Canada?
I was born in Toronto, raised in Calgary, Alberta, which is just above Montana. And the winters there are very brutal.
I was going to say, isn't there a lot of snow? Like, or is it just you or it's you're so prepared that the bus could still get to school or you could still get to school?
I could still make it to school. I did take public transit if my parents wouldn't drive me, but could still make it. We're prepared. We're prepared. It's very rare that there's a snow day because we're so used to it. That, like, I feel like in other places, if it's, you know, 2 centimeters of snow, it's like considered a snow day. No.
Oh, here, it, like if it sticks to the ground, people freak out.
Yeah.
It's like, totally. But there's it snows so rarely that there's not the big plows that kind of will clear the streets off or ice the streets. So if it snows and where I'm at, there's like a lot of rural area. So if someone like one person can't get to school at in some school in the district, then they shut the whole district down. So
yeah.
I mean, they play it that way.
Yeah, totally. I love that, though. I love that.
It's cool. My kids love it.
I love that. Nice day home from school. That is the best. It's the best.
Yeah. It's just they can't really. Unfortunately, they can't go outside right now. Just the wind, I guess, is supposed to be gnarly, but.
Yeah. Don't take them outside today. Stay at home. That's so sweet.
Yeah. Are you celebrating something? There's like a champagne bottle on the roof. Or and that you've got another
and one. A little star. Yes. My mom got me those balloons like 2 weeks ago. When I got nominated for when I found out I was nominated for a Juno.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it was so sweet. And we're just seeing how long it can last. up here for a few weeks now.
Just leave it up. Maybe they'll last till the Juno Awards.
I think they will. I think there's been no signs of deflation whatsoever. So
that's good.
Yeah,
that's good. So you said you're born in Toronto, but raised in Calgary. Okay.
Yes.
So aside from the weather, what was it like growing up there?
Oh my goodness. It's a big city, but it very much has a small town feel, especially the neighborhood that I grew up in. Everybody kind of knows everybody. The parents went to elementary school together. Like it's very much.
Oh, wow. Everyone's kind of stayed there, huh?
Totally. Totally. Which was super fun growing up. But I reached a point where I thought I need to grow a bit, which is why I moved back to Toronto. I'm back in Toronto now.
Okay.
But it was awesome. We're like right by the mountains. I had an amazing group of girlfriends who I'm still friends with today. And it's gorgeous for like 5 months of the year. But I loved it. I loved it very much. I think it'll always be my hometown, but I'm a Toronto girly now, which has been good for my career, I think.
Yeah, I was gonna say probably a lot more going on as far as music, especially in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
What about me? Do you come from a musical household or are you the only musician in the family?
My sister, who's 7 years younger than me, is actually a singer as well, and she has her own project. But my mom was in a band when she was, in high school. Wow. So, and my dad is very much he loves to give me my musical education whenever we're in the car. So he'll play like the 70s channel and tell me about all of the music. So they're both musical, both my parents, I would say. But I'm the only one who's, you know, doing it full time right now. Okay.
You said your mom was in a band. Was she, what did she play? Was she the singer songwriter? Like, do you know?
She played guitar and she sang. Oh my God. I'm kicking myself because I don't remember the name. Oh, it was Voyager 5. That was the name.
Nice.
Of her. Yeah. She grew up in a really, really small town in British Columbia, and they have the cutest pictures of the band. But yeah, she played guitar and sang, and she can still carry a tune to this day.
Did she write the songs for the band?
I don't actually know if they have original songs.
Oh, it was mainly just really good covers.
I think maybe it was covers. I need to ask her after this. I feel like a really bad daughter right now.
No, I was just curious. Yeah. Maybe she was kind of, if she was the songwriter, maybe she would help you out a bit with your songs.
Yeah, I actually, even if she, my dad one time asked if he could help me. And that's so kind. It's really so kind, but it's such a personal thing for me writing that I don't like opening up about it with family or close friends or significant others. I just feel like it needs to be my own thing.
Yeah.
Because it's such a vulnerable thing for me.
Right. Well, I mean, and then opening up to your, not only that, but like, depending on what the subject matter of the song is, like, you're like, all right, dad, so we're going to talk about this.
You're going to talk about you today.
Yeah, right. I got this great song about you.
Yeah. But it's so sweet that he offered it.
That's nice that he offered. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, where did you start off? Like, what was the first instrument you learned how to play?
Oh my goodness. I was in piano lessons in my youth. Probably when I was like 8 or 9, but then he had to let me go because
the piano teacher.
Yeah. Okay. Because I wasn't learning anything, because I would just go there and bawl my eyes out. And I kind of used it as like a therapy session for an hour. Poor guy.
Could you talk to him about your day or
problems? Yeah. Whatever problems I had at like 9 or 10. I just felt like it was a super safe space, and he was so kind to me. And he would ask me, you know, how are you? And then I'd go, well, I'm actually not okay. So I didn't learn
anything. He's like, I'm sorry I asked.
I didn't learn anything in piano. Okay. I can play the chopsticks. And then I picked up guitar probably around 17 and taught myself, and it shows.
Oh, wow.
It shows.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'd say I don't know. Do you use it more as a vehicle to write? Was that kind of the reason why?
Yes, totally. As a vehicle to write. And also, I think there's nothing more badass than being able to own a stage completely alone. And I knew that I needed an instrument to be able to do that. So guitar has been my love now for 3-ish years. But I've only really been trying to learn it and practice it every day for the last year or so. And I love showing my calluses to everyone, being like, look how hard I'm working.
That's the hardest part, right? When you start learning, you're like, this sucks. My fingers hurt so bad. And then after a few days or a month or, you know, you start to grow, the callus starts to form and you can play for hours.
It gets easier, but I'm very excited because PRS has hooked me up with a new electric, and I've never had an electric guitar before. And I didn't know that they're actually kind of easier to play what do they call it? Not the gauge, I don't know what it's called. Like there's less room from the.
Oh yeah. The action.
The action.
Yeah. I'm not even good at guitar. I know some of the terms.
You saved me right there, but it's smaller and it actually is easier to play. So, and the guitar guy said to me, you need to love playing it. Like, you need to want to pick it up and not put it down, which is not the case with my acoustic right now. I'm like, hurt so bad, but so I'm really excited for that, to learn some electric bombs.
Very, very cool. And once you get the guitar and you kind of learn some chords, is that when you started writing songs?
When I get the guitar and get the chords.
When you got your guitar and you started to learn some of the chords, is that when you started to write your own songs, or were you doing that prior and then kind of when you got the guitar trying to put the music to it?
I was doing it prior, actually, on piano with help from like stickers. I would put little stickers about.
Oh, wow.
So I was doing it on piano. I remember that was kind of like my songwriting station when I was 15 or 16. But I started writing more and more songs once I got my first guitar. And the first song that I ever released was written on my very first guitar. So it definitely did open up a world of like, okay, now I'm in control. And once you know, like six chords, the world's your oyster.
Right. So, right.
It was very helpful for me.
Was that the first one you put out? Was that July for the Whole Year?
Yes. You're so okay. Sweet. Yes, it was. And I wrote that song when I was 16, about a boy who didn't love me back. And it was the first song that I started getting asked to play at gigs. I was gigging at like bars during university, and I would sometimes play original music. Mm-hmm. And people would come up to me and request it. It was it was the sweetest thing, and it was really validating and very encouraging. And I didn't know that I could make this a career at that point, or that there was any interest.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very special song to me, and it's my favorite one to perform live.
Wow. So yeah. you put the song on 2020. Was that before the pandemic happened, or?
It was right in the thick of it. Right in the thick of it.
Oh, wow. So you were performing the song prior, and then what, you recorded it at some point and then put it out in the thick?
Yes. In the thick, right in the thick. Okay. I graduated from university, got a psych degree in early 2020. And the pandemic happened and everything was so up in the air, and I felt like it was a chance for me to kind of take a step back and think about what I really wanted to do. And I was gigging at bars at the beginning of that year and starting to kind of gain some traction a little bit, at least among the students.
Right.
And it gave me enough confidence to be like, okay, I'm going to be kicking myself on my deathbed if I don't even give this a shot. So that summer I spent like 4 months on July for the Whole Year and re-recorded the vocals like 8 times in my closet. And then I put it out in September. I was supposed to put it out in July, obviously, because it's July for the Whole Year, but it took me so long.
But it was still July and September, according to the song. You know what I mean?
Well, because it's July for the Whole Year.
Right. Yeah. So there you go.
Is that
recording, the one that's up on Spotify? That's from your closet?
Yes.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. And if I'm speaking my truth, I love playing it and I love performing it. I don't love listening to it or any of my kind of earlier stuff, because I think I didn't quite know how to sing yet. Like, what was the best range for me and how it could tap into my most unique vocal mm-hmm. style. I was just singing the way I thought I was supposed to. But not really having my own singing style, but I do love that one. So I think you can hear my voice like changing as songs come out.
And the age you're at. I mean,
yeah, totally.
Your voice will change. But it's interesting because it obviously resonated with not only the people that were at school with you that were requesting the song, but like it has over 3 million plays on Spotify. Like, so it was working.
Yeah.
Basically write out, you know, your first song. It's like, wow, you know, you talked about validation. That must have been huge validation.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that is something that I really needed, especially at the beginning of my artist career. I would love to say that like I had enough confidence in myself and I knew I could do it. But that's actually not the case. I needed other people to tell me that I could do it for me to be able to do it. But once it started kind of gaining traction organically, that was really exciting. And I didn't even know the barometer for that, if that's like normal. Mm-hmm. But I was working with my manager in our infancy at the time, and he said, no, that's not normal. Like, it's doing well.
It's huge. Yeah.
So that was very exciting for me. And it was very much enough encouragement to tell me to keep going and keep trying. So it's my baby.
Yeah. Did your manager find you due to that song, or was it beforehand?
I actually reached out to him on LinkedIn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. In my third year of university, we went to the same university and I reached out to him for copywriting networking because I was wanting to be a copywriter. That was my traditional plan.
Oh, really? I thought you were going to go into like therapy or something like that with a psychology degree.
I could have.
Yeah. You seem very empathetic. And when your piano teacher asks you how you're doing and the fact that you just kind of
dumped on it,
let him know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that is, I think, one of the hardest jobs in the world, probably being a therapist. Oh, yeah. But I discovered a love for advertising and copywriting. And there's so many similarities between copywriting and songwriting that it's just a hop skip away, honestly. So I reached out to him on LinkedIn being like, do you know of any copywriting agencies, advertising agencies that would be interested in having me? Because he worked at Universal in Canada. In the advertising marketing world. And I was like, music, advertising, I can do a bit of those. And then at the end, I said, by the way, I have some demos if you want to listen. And that was
and he listened. That was it.
He was like, these are okay. But when we started continuing working from that, that was in 2019, something like that, 14 years ago.
Wow. And then, so that was even before you had put out July for the whole year.
Oh, yeah. And thank God he like saw something in me and kind of took me on as a bit of a pilot manager project because he wasn't managing anyone. He just started working at Universal and he's like, what connections do you think I would have? Like, I think he was just stopped interning or I don't know.
But, right.
You're
like, you're in the door. That's all that matters. Right?
Yeah.
You have the email address.
Yeah, totally. You have the title. But he's been my, you know, number one support from the very beginning and a very good source of validation. So,
wow. Yeah. So you put out an EP the following year or is it an album? It's an album. It was seven songs. Would you call it an album?
Is that an album? I would consider it an EP. I think I hope not in Spotify's terms that it's an album.
It says album, but I just assume EP because it was seven songs.
Yes.
On Spotify. But
yes. A bit of an EP moment.
Okay.
That was very, I loved it. I loved that experience. It was kind of, I wouldn't say thrown together, but I think I wanted to release an EP to say that I had an EP. More so there was not, a theme behind it. There doesn't always need to be, but it just felt like the right next step to put out an EP. And I'm very proud of most of the songs on it.
Oh, really? I think the whole album's good, or the whole EP is great.
Oh,
you say most of it. That's interesting.
I'm very hard on myself. And some songs we wanted to save some better ones for later on. So we had to replace them with some ones that I didn't love as much. But it was a very exciting moment for me. I am super proud of it. And, some of the songs on there are still like my favorites that I've ever released, like Nobody's Baby and High and Dry. And I was just kind of getting to know myself and what I liked to write about at that time. So it's a nice little, it also is my baby.
Right.
Party for one.
You said you had some songs that you wanted to save for later. Have you put out any of those yet?
Yes. Like Uncall It.
Uncall It was one of those.
One of them I wanted to put it on, but it would have been a deep track. And my manager said, we got to give it an opportunity to be a single. So Uncall It was one of them. And then I got signed shortly after that because of Witch. So I have some songs.
Wow, that song it's so creative. I mean, just using the acronym. I was like, whoa, like I hadn't heard it. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like Witch. Okay. And then like the whole premise of the song and how you utilize it in the way you did. It's brilliant. With that, I mean, how did that start? Like, did you put a snippet of it like online or like on TikTok or something? And then people started to care. Cause you had like 300,000 pre-saves. Like that is mind blowing.
It was bananas, Adam. It was bananas. It was a bananas time. It started I had that idea, that title idea for a while because I'd heard it on an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race. And I was like, that is a title. but I was waiting. That's where it came from. Yeah. Inspiration can come from anywhere.
Yeah.
But I was waiting for the right beat, I guess, or the right vibe of track. So sometimes I hold on to ideas until I find the right instrumental and it feels like it clicks. Mm-hmm. And then I found John Mark Nelson's quick call to duet, which was like a very bass heavy, funky thing. And immediately I knew that it would work. And so I recorded it like the next day and it went viral, which was very exciting. The most viral I've ever been in to this day. Mm-hmm. And just the, I don't want to say demand because that sounds so bad, but the amount of people who are asking, for it to be released and the amount of people that it was resonating with was so, so exciting. I was so mind blown and I knew that it would be a game changer. And I'm just so grateful that it happened the way that it did. And John Mark is so amazing. And I owe a lot of its success, all of its success pretty much to that track. So he's awesome. And he lives in LA.
Wow. So you said it went viral fairly quickly then, right? You put it out and then what, did you go to sleep and wake up and your phone was dead because it had so many notifications? Or like, what was there any like how quickly did you start noticing that it was going crazy?
Almost instantly.
Really?
Yeah. I think within, I think I know if something's going to go even a little bit viral within the first like 10 minutes of posting it, if it catches on the For You page. And it started happening pretty quickly, but it just didn't stop. I thought it would stop at some point. And it just kept going and going and going. And I'd be in band practice, like checking it, being like, oh my God, it still hasn't stopped. I would walk home from band practice with my manager and it would still be going. Anyways, it was just so exciting. And we were
Wow.
It was incredible. Incredible. And we were in New York the next week for like meetings with labels. I think that's kind of how it happens these days. But
yeah, I mean, especially it's like, okay, this is happening. You know, like it's, you have a massive like focus group of people that are either going to like it or not. And there's no rhyme or reason behind it. Really, it just lands in the internet. And then, okay, we like this. And then it starts to be, other people start to see it. And just to watch kind of how TikTok has done that throughout the past, you know, only a couple of years, has just changed the game completely.
It's totally changed the land. Not that I knew the landscape before, but it's such a wonderful and empowering time to be an artist because of the nature of the internet and how quickly things can catch on fire if you just keep trying. And I think that's been a success story for a lot of artists lately, that one song will really take off, and then not that they're set, but that they have an audience now that they can continue releasing stuff. And it's just great. I think it's very empowering for artists. It's a very level the playing field.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's a level playing field, but to what you just said, where you have a lot of eyes on you, but there's a lot of artists that will have that massive song. And then the next thing they do, like it just, the window is already closed. Right. And then their time is, as unfortunately it could be over quickly, but then when you put out Hey Cowboy, it's also has like, you know, nearly 4 million streams on Spotify. So
thank you.
To continue like I wonder if that was something that you were at all, you know, thinking about, right? Like you had this huge song with which, and then it's okay, does anyone still care? Like did you not think about that?
I thought about it immediately. As soon as it started happening and as soon as we put it out, I immediately was starting to think, I need to just enjoy this high while I'm having it, because I feel like I knew it was gonna be like a standard that I wanted to reach for myself personally. Like sure. That I don't think a song is doing well unless it's doing better than which is impossible and so much pressure to put on anybody. So it was always at the back of my mind once it was going really well, that this is such an up and there may be downs, but I just try to use that moment and that song as a reminder to trust my gut and to have faith in myself and to know that I can do it again one of these days. But for now, just putting out singles that I really believe in, and that my team really believes in, and hopefully they do well. And Hey Cowboy did well, which yeah. I'm proud about as well.
No, it did. And then I had a chance to hear the song you have coming out, well, I think next Friday, right?
Yeah,
Call You After Rehab. And just from the quote that I read of yours, you said it's, you know, kind of your most vulnerable song to date. And I want to hear about, you know, your experience with the song.
Yeah. Well, I know from the interview that I watched with Ash that you've also had a journey with addiction.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to say, I'm so proud of you for being sober. Oh. It's a really hard thing to do.
Thank you. Yeah.
So I just
have a year and 2 months.
Oh my gosh. Congratulations. That's so exciting. That's so
one day at a time.
One day at a time. So this song, the story behind it,
mm-hmm.
you asked. Okay. So I've been kind of vague about it in interviews up to this point. But I think you're so special. And I think you do interviews kind of like Dax Shepard does and like Zane Lowe does. Like, I think you
thank you. That means a lot to me. Sure. Honestly, it really does. Those are people that I look up to and hear. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I like that's the style I would go for. Like, that's what I want.
Totally.
But
totally.
I would just want to talk to musicians because that's where, but I'm not a good musician. So I just want to hear other people tell me how they got to where they are. It's a selfish thing for me, to be honest.
No, you're so great at it. So this song came from a moment where I was really putting off what I knew needed to be done. I knew I needed therapy. I knew I needed some sort of break from the substances that I was abusing. And I couldn't bring myself to make that leap at all. And it was my parents who called me and were like, "We think you need some help."
Wow.
It was kind of like folding into myself. I was a shell of a person at the time that I decided to go to rehab. And so that song kind of captures the moment where I decided for myself that I needed to take a break from this relationship in order to focus on myself and focus on my own healing. And it wasn't written about a significant other because I was very much single at the time. Mm-hmm. So I think about it more as my relationship to those substances and needing to say goodbye for, mm-hmm. you know, however long I needed to say goodbye. And it was the scariest thing I've ever done.
Oh, it's so scary, right? I mean,
it was so scary.
Wow. Thank you so much for being vulnerable and telling me this. Cause I didn't know that it was about rehab because I just assumed, well, I wasn't going to assume that it was right. Thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's this to have of parents that were willing to call you and say, "Hey, I think you know you might have a problem."
Yeah.
My experience was not that. I mean, I kind of had more enabler parents, and it took my wife to be like, "It's time to get your shit together. I'm out." But you know.
Your wife.
To have that push and it took me numerous times to do it.
Totally.
So I'm just grateful every day. I finally actually started to care. I mean, I know in rehab they kind of go, "Oh, you need to go to AA or you need to do this," and like
yeah.
And it was just like, yeah, whatever. But then it finally, I was like, no, this is what I really really need. So that's huge that you were able to see that and then go and
mm-hmm.
Do what you had to do.
It was a big moment for me in my life. And it was so, so terrifying. And the song itself is not really about that experience. I think I will continue to unpack that as I grow as a person and as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
It more so captures a feeling of, I know I need to put myself first and I need to show myself self-love and self-care. And I hope that people can resonate with that bit because it is kind of a scary word. But it's not really about that rehab experience, but I will get into it one of these days, but it's just the first kind of window into opening up the conversation. And I think it's important to have the conversation and to be honest about it. I was afraid about talking about it so bluntly, but last week I just kind of snapped out of it and I was like, you only live once. It's probably going to help somebody. And I really don't care if people know that about me at all. I want to be an open book always with my music and in interviews and everything. So I hope it'll resonate with people, the self-love bit at all. And I just really, really love the song. But I'm so glad that we can connect about that, because it's so special when you meet somebody who has been through the same things, or they know a family member who has suffered from addiction. And so I'm excited to talk more about it, and I'm rambling now.
No. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for being so vulnerable and telling me that, because it's hard. I mean, whenever I see somebody come into a meeting for the first time, it's like, yeah. I remember that, right? You go in and you're like, do I none of these people? And then like people are coming up to you like, hey man, nice to meet you. And you're like, oh my God, there's like so overwhelming. Like, who are you? Like, here's some phone numbers. Call me if you need, like, what? Like, you know, it could be to even take the first step to doing anything of that matter. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I feel like my life has changed 100%, and I didn't realize how bad it was until, like, you know, you reflect on it after the fact. It's interesting.
Totally. Totally. It was like almost 2 years maybe of me being just absolutely stoned for like 95% of my waking hours all the time.
Oh yeah. Flights, I know all about that.
For my grad photos, for everything. There wasn't an opportunity where I wasn't high. And it really does take a toll. It fries your brain. And it took me like that time in rehab I had to sleep for like the first 2 days also. Sure, yeah. Like, it takes such a toll on you and also on your loved ones. And my friends would call me and be like, we miss you. Like, where are you? Like, there's no light behind your eyes. Like, it's such a sad thing. So I'm so grateful that you have such an amazing support system, and that I also have such an amazing support system, because that's not the case for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I'm very grateful that I had the opportunity to go and to detox and to get the help that I needed, because that's also not an opportunity that everybody gets. So I'm very grateful for it. And I know it'll be a lifelong journey, but I'm really excited to be talking about it.
No, that's so awesome. And congratulations. That's so huge. I relate so much to everything you're saying. I couldn't leave my house without being on something, you know what I mean? Like, how, and then you don't for like a long time, but it's so scary. You're like, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to enjoy anything? And it's like, I'll look back at pictures of myself and I'm like, yikes. Like, you don't see it. You're like, you know,
yeah,
it was all about me. You know, it's like, hopefully as long as I'm doing all these, as long as I can get high and I can do all these things, like, that's my priority. And then everybody else comes second to that. And like, that's what I had to unlearn, that mindset and everything. And it's so hard. And the fact that you are able to, and you're so young, I mean, that's so, congratulations. And don't think of it like this is gonna be a lifetime thing. You just go, yeah, today, by the end of today, I'm not gonna.
Yes. Started. That's something I always.
Tomorrow, you know, well, hopefully tomorrow will be the same, but today, by the end of the day, that's all I care about at this moment.
Yeah, absolutely. That was definitely a learning in rehab. I would bawl my eyes out being like, I can't be sober for the rest of my life. And they're like, well, you don't have to, you just have to today.
Right.
So yeah, lots of unlearning, lots of relearning, but I love this for us. I love this for us.
I think it's so great. I think that's so awesome. And again, thank you for sharing this with me, because hearing these stories is like more for like, oh my gosh, like, now I know I can, you know, I can keep going. Like, other people are doing it, I can keep doing it. And it's just that whole community and that whole sense. And it's weird that this book that was written by these people in the 30s is still something that's relevant to today, and it works. And it's like, I don't want to be like this sounding board, but it's just so weird, because like, I felt like I thought it was all bullshit, and then like, it wasn't.
Absolutely. And the community piece of it too, is so, I love that people were coming up to you at that's, you know, part of it is giving back. And I think this is me, this song at least. And once I do have the conversation on online, in my own, these are my own words, but I mean, once I make a post about it. I think that'll be me kind of giving back and opening up the conversation. Oh, yeah. And I'm very much opening myself up to criticism, I think, by doing it. But I think that's important.
I wouldn't even be worried about that. You'll be amazed by how many people are going to be like, oh my gosh, thank you for saying this. Made me rethink what I, you know. Yeah. I just have a feeling that the benefits will heavily outweigh any, you know, troll sitting at their house, you know, that wants to talk shit or whatever.
Trolls! Trolls! No, you're so right.
I want to talk to you real quick about, well, not only thank you for sharing that about the song, and I think it's an awesome song, and I can't wait for you to release it next week, but the Juno Award nomination, I mean, was that had to be something that you grew up kind of watching, or, you know, and then just to actually receive the nomination, like, tell me about that moment.
Oh my gosh. Well, absolutely. It's a Canadian girl's dream.
Sure.
I very much didn't grow up watching them or the Grammys or even the X Factor or The Voice. I hit a point in my youth where I couldn't watch it because I was so upset that it wasn't me. Because I wanted it so badly. And I think I'd come to terms with the fact at that point that it probably wasn't going to happen for me. So I just couldn't watch it. And now cut to me being nominated for a Juno, which is like the most exciting music award in Canada, I think.
It's the most exciting music award.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And I know that my younger self is screaming. I hear her screaming from excitement. And I'm just so honored to be nominated and to be even amongst the names that are going to be there. I can't wait to see people that I'm a fan of from a distance. Like, I think Avril Lavigne's going to go. I hope she does.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm so excited.
And you get to be there and everything. I mean, to be in the nomination you have Breakthrough Artist of the Year. That's so big.
Yeah, I'm really the winner of Breakthrough Artist of the Year last year, Jessia. I saw her get her nomination. I think it was over the radio or something, because they weren't able to do a nomination ceremony like they did this year. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing that and just being so proud of her and knowing that I could potentially one day have that, but I didn't know who'd be the next year. So it happened very quickly. But I'm just so excited. I screamed at the top of my lungs when they said my name. I wish I took a video of it, but I didn't know if I was going to be nominated at all or for what category.
Yeah, so I was going to say, do you probably have, you're kind of like, there's a chance because my song is doing well or I'm doing well, but you don't have any clue, right?
No, I didn't know. But I had a feeling because they invited me to the nomination ceremony. So I was hopeful. I'm like,
yeah, right.
Maybe. But and for Breakthrough Artist of the Year, that's a very exciting category, I think. And really, again, just a source of validation and encouragement, and hopefully the first of many. We'll
yes.
see.
Yes, no, for sure. Yeah. I just want to ask real quick, because you said when you didn't like watching The Voice or American Idol or whatever it was, those shows, because did you ever try out for it, or it wasn't even you're just like watching it like, I can do it? Or was it kind of just one of those experiences you had with it? I'm just curious.
Well, Canadian Idol stopped being a thing when I was probably around the time where I could have tried out. I also think it was not very good. I think you can try out for The Voice and these things when you're from a different country, but I would try online and then get so discouraged because it would say like, you need an address in the States or something. I would just get overwhelmed.
Oh, so you would do an audition, and then when you went to submit it, it wouldn't give you the opportunity.
I would just read, the farthest I ever got was just reading up on it.
Oh, got it.
Me like, oh, you should try out. And then I'd be like, yeah, maybe. But I think the universe had another plan for me.
Yeah, I think you were better off.
Yeah, and I also think I had a lot of growing to do before I could start an artist career or even be in front of a camera at all. My teens were very much some dark years for me, I don't think I was ready to do it. And I think my body knew that because I had a visceral reaction to like watching it, but that's so rude of me. Like you can't share in other people doing it. Like I took it so like, I wish that was me, but now it is. So it's okay. It's all okay.
Wow. Well, I hope you have to know when the awards are. I was going to Google it, but if you
they're
know,
on the 13th.
13th of this month.
Yes.
Oh, wow. You guys do it quickly because the Grammys are like the nominations and you wait around forever.
Yeah. Like it's a super quick turnaround. I don't even know what I'm wearing yet.
Oh, wow. That's cool. That is going to be so much fun. Are you bringing mom?
I'm bringing my mom. My dad's coming. My siblings are coming.
Wow.
The whole team. That's really
awesome. Well, I'm going to set an alarm on my phone for the 14th.
Okay, to check you out.
Okay. Well, I don't know if I can watch it. I don't have Canadian TV.
I don't even know how you watch it.
Maybe I can watch it on the internet. Okay. I'll try to find it on the internet on the 13th. And if I can't get in through the firewall or whatever, then
totally.
I'll just double check on the 14th.
Yeah, it'll probably be on YouTube by the 14th.
Oh, like, there you go.
The categories of who's won.
Who won. Okay, I'm going to make sure. And I hope you win. And you have to go up and give a speech and everything if you do.
You do have to go up and give a speech. And I'm not assuming anything. I think I have.
You have to be prepared, right? I mean, there's obviously a chance if you're on the thing.
Yeah, there's a chance, but I have prepared a little tiny something. And I was in an interview the other day and they said, can you say it for us? And I butchered it even in that moment. So I need to do more practicing just to
I'm not going to ask you to do that. You can save it for this thing. And so, I mean, obviously you have the song coming out on Friday and after that, do you have a bunch of other songs like ready to go? Like what's the next, you know, few months look like?
Call You After Rehab is the first song in a bit of a rollout moment for us.
Amazing.
I've been writing for the past year, some songs that I had before I was signed and post getting signed that I'm so excited about. Like there's not a single one that I'm not so overjoyed about. So Call You After Rehab will be the first in a bit of a rollout schedule. And there's some really exciting, more upbeat songs along the road, but this is kind of the first sentimental, slower song that I've ever released. So I'm really excited about it. And just proud that it's happening at all, no matter what the outcome is or how well it does. So I'm really proud of it. And hopefully working towards a larger body of work. When that's coming out, I don't know, but I think it'll be an EP.
Awesome. Well, I cannot wait. Where are you doing? Like, what about shows? Are you coming to the States and playing so we can go see you or what?
Oh my gosh, I would love that. I'm joining a band called Valley on.
Oh, I've had them on my show. They're great. They're great. Yeah, yeah. They're fun.
They are so fun. So sweet, all of them. And I am a massive fan. I'm going to be opening for them on the Canadian leg of their tour
this
spring, just after the Junos, kind of. Mm-hmm. And I'm manifesting and fingers crossing that I'll be opening for somebody in the fall, hopefully on a US tour. That would be amazing. It's on my goal list. But hopefully I will be doing some shows in the States.
Wow. Well, that's so awesome that you're on the shows with Valley. They're amazing. Amazing. And when I interviewed them, they were big and a good band, but I feel like they've just skyrocketed over the past, you know, couple years. So
yeah,
they're cool really to see so, artists like that.
They're so cool. And I've never met a band before. So I've never seen, you know, what the dynamics are. They're all just close and they go to band therapy. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Sure. But
everyone can be mad at me. But they go to band therapy. That's the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's amazing. I can't remember if they talked about that. I know that they were very open with me. So
yeah.
I might have already shared that, but that's so cool.
I think they'd be okay with it. I'm not going to tell them that I said it though.
I won't either. Don't worry.
Okay, but they're awesome. And I'm very excited to be joining them.
So awesome. Well, thank you, Devin, for doing this. I really appreciate your time. This has been so much fun. Thank you.
Oh, Adam, thank you so much. I'm sorry if we went over.
No, I don't have a time limit. Okay. I was just trying to be curious. You know, your time is important. Oh, so.
No, you're so sweet. Thank you so much for having me. This was one of my favorite interviews literally ever. You're doing such a fantastic
job. Oh, awesome.
You give me Dax energy.
That, honestly, that's such a huge compliment. Like, you don't even know. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
But I'm going to bug you for one more question before I let you go. Do you have any advice for aspiring artists?
Ooh, advice for aspiring artists. I love that question so, so much. I would say trust your gut and don't give up. And if you're posting online, which you should be, try not to get discouraged if things aren't happening as quickly as you want them to be happening. Just keep trying and trust yourself, because you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. And that's all.